seen this talk this beginning a thousand of times, so I just changed the feature. I took one from David. So the point is that nowadays we have from different cosmological observations a very good case for a cosmological constant, light or a dark energy field or whatever you like. And okay, it seems that we have a lot of nice parameters, well measured by a lot of things. And where is the? No. Okay. Oh no, you cannot see that. So a lot of cosmological parameters, well measured. And okay, we have to find an explanation for that, because in the case of this model, if you are using a lambda CDM, it brings to you a lot of coincidence in the model. In the case of you can see that in the case of density parameter is the high hand. Yeah. So Vali, take care. No? So you can see here, okay, that is a model plagued by coincidence, and also from if you have a cosmological constant, you can see that the scales from the beginning of the universe until today is a very large difference. So, okay, we have to explain that and get nice models, right? So we can use different models. So there are a lot, I just would like to include the mass variation neutrinos, the mass variant neutrinos in the whole scenario of dark energy in 2000 models. So if you are dealing with dark energy as a scalar field, you can think as dark energy as, let's say, interacting only gravitationally with the rest of the thing, right? But then you can complicate the things, really, and get something like that, right? You can, for instance, couple the dark energy with the dark matter, which is here, and then you have variable mass particles, couple models, Chaplin gas. And okay, in the case I'm discussing today, I'm going to speak about mass variant neutrino, who is right there, right? So that's what I'm doing. I'm going to speak in the next minute too. So, but why couple to neutrinos the dark energy? That's the question. I mean, first of all, the reason is that the neutrinos are light. So it's a nice explanation to couple to that, because in principle you wouldn't get too much quantum corrections for your dark energy potential. So in principle you could deal with that. I mean, also there is the fact that neutrinos almost do not interact, so you can avoid all the 50 force problem and so on. Okay, there is a coincidence of scales, whatever that means in that case. But maybe we are just playing numerology, trying to find a coincidence in numbers there. But the main point is, why not? I mean, if we can constrain this model, it would be nice, and it would be, I mean, one model less or the model, who knows? So what is the point? I mean, the very first model which was presented by Fardo and Nielsen and Wagner. And the point is that they have a model in which the mass of the neutrino varies with the scalar field. In this case, it's called A, right? And then you have a potential for the dark energy. That's very important, first of all, because they say, okay, there is no fine-tuning. There is. I was talking that to Luca today. Because the point is that you have to have an overall scale for this potential, for this part. Even if you have that, you need to guess this one and to put a scale which is a cosmological constant light scale, right? And in this very first model, okay, they assume here you have the part of this potential, right? And then you have the part which comes from the coupling with neutrinos. And you see here that as the neutrinos expand, the neutrinos density is going down. And then you have in this very first model that adiabatically this is changing the bottom of the potential. And you have a cosmological constant, and the scale is more or less well explained by the scale of the mass of the neutrinos, right? And you can see from here that you are in the bottom of the potential, right? Because you have a minus one, your dark energy fluid is behaving like a cosmological constant with a small correction for today, so this is, who knows, this can be observable or not. But the point is that in this very first model, they don't assume that the field is dynamical, the field is always in the bottom of the potential. Okay, suppose that the advantage of this model is that the dark energy mass could be very large, let's say, which is 10 to minus 4, 10 to minus 5, instead of 10 to minus 33 for the normal case, because you are coupling them directly to the high-handed neutrinos you have in this model. And okay, there is a whole issue of perturbations in this model, if the perturbations can grow or not. And okay, so if you have seen Lily Shen's talk, it was there, the whole issue. So what is the point? After that, a lot of people have been working with that. I just mentioned Peche and Brookfield. They have included the full dynamics of the system. And the full dynamics of the system is here, right? In the end of the day, for the conservation equations and for the Klein-Gordon equation, you have an extra term, right, which depends on the nature, on the equation of state of the neutrinos. If the neutrinos behave as matter, you turn this thing on. And if neutrinos behave like radiation, this thing is simply zero, and they behave like they are not coupled. That's the main issue you should take from here, right? And okay, so this is the main model by now. And you can see, and you can show, calculating for the background and also for the perturbations, that you can have a reasonable cosmology for that case, right? So this, for instance, if you remember the plot I showed before, okay, you have a radiation-dominated era, you have here the neutrinos, right? And okay, dark energy is just going to dominate today, and here you have a period of matter domination. Here, just to show you what kind of variations for the mass of the neutrino they have in one specific model. And you see, the mass can be increasing towards today, or it can be decreasing towards today in this model, right? So the main message here is that you can have models in which the mass is increasing and other models in which the mass is decreasing, right? And just to show you the background for this, I mean, this is the equation of state of dark energy. This blue one is the effective one, which takes into account the fact that the coupling with the neutrinos, and this one is the bare one, let's say, which is the one given only by the scalar field. So what is our point in this work? It's to try to verify in a model-independent way, and for that we will need a parametrization, of course, if it's possible to constrain such a model using cosmological observables, right? So now I'm talking a bit about parametrization. We have seen a lot of parametrizations these days, right? We have seen the very first one, which is, okay, we can have a dark energy which is constant, and we can have a dark energy, okay, like dark energy, best force thing. But also there are some works in which you can have a parametrization for dark matter mass when you couple it to the dark energy, like in this work by Amendola, Rogério, and so on. So what is the whole point? Is that Ed was going to talk about this parametrization, but in the end, I think he rushed it on out of time. And the point is that this parametrization, which was proposed by him and by Pierre Stefano Corazzaniki, it consists on four parameters in which you have, you see this W0, which is the value of the dark energy, the dark energy equation of state today, the past one, as you can clearly see here, the AT, which is the place where the transition is going to happen, and you have this delta, which controls the velocity in which the equation of state is varying, right? So with this kind of thing, you can get results like that. For instance, this is the thing that Christoph likes, in which you have a region for the growth of the density parameter of the dark energy. And in this case, you can construct regions of exclusion and best regions for the W of Z as a function of Z. Right. So our point is that could we get something like that for the variation of the mass of the neutrino? Yeah, we hope so. So here we enter with our model. So as I was saying, we are trying to parameterize the mass of the neutrinos for that, right? So, but any parameterization that we take into account, we should at least be able to reproduce the models that are there within some few percent. So one characteristic of all these models is that the variation starts when the neutrinos become non-relativistic. So okay, that's something your parameterization should do. Another thing is that, okay, it should have a smooth behavior, because otherwise you can simply spoil everything, especially for the perturbation, right? When you derive and you take derivatives of that, you can spoil the whole thing. So what did we do? We were using parameterization a la Corazzaniki Copland, for the mass of the neutrino. So we have here these parameters. We have the mass of the neutrino today, the mass of the neutrino in the past, and then we are going to have this delta, which very much like theirs, controls the variation of the mass with the time. But we have one advantage here, because we don't need to, we know very exactly when the mass variation should start. Because the mass variation should start when the neutrinos become non-relativistic, which happens more or less when this for zeta equal this value here, right? Where N1 is the mass in the past. Let's see how is that, right? So here you have some variation for the mass in that case, right? So different parameters, we have delta, N1 and N0, different deltas, different everything. And you see that you can reproduce a lot of behavior, right? So in principle, at least, we are able within this parameterization to reproduce a lot of variation of the mass for the neutrinos and try to learn what the cosmological constraints can tell us about that. So here you have the derivatives of that mass. And then you see that in the end of the day, due to the parameterization, is done in such a way that you have the variation of the mass happening because in an exponential form, let's say, and then you vary the width of the variation of the mass, right? So in different epochs and different times and all of that stuff. So in principle, we can keep control on everything and try to see if we can constrain such a. But of course, we have to put perturbation from this model, right? Of course, because if we are going to calculate the CMB and also the matter power spectrum, we need to calculate it with the full perturbation. And for that, in all the works before ours, they included, in fact, the dark energy field as a scalar field. So since this one is the very first one with a parameterization, we have to construct the whole parameterization. In the case of the neutrinos, the same thing. And also because the hierarchy equations do not change, since you are not changing the number density of the neutrinos. I mean, you are changing the number density, but you are not changing with the field, with the dark energy density. But then you have to write the perturbation for the dark energy equations in the form of fluid equations, in the form of fluid perturbations. And when you do that, I mean, you are going to have all these new terms, which are in red here, right, which depend on the variation of the mass of the neutrino with the redshift, right? So, okay, so that's what you have to do in the end of the day, is go there and put that into your codes and see what you get, right? So here we have four examples of CMB spectra, for instance. If you see the two black ones, the dashed one and the solid line one, they are plotted for the case of 0.1 eV for the neutrino mass, and the mass is constant here, and this one is plotted for the 5 eV with a constant mass. So this 0.1 eV is very much like lambda CDN model. It's very much like the best speed we have today, right? So we would expect to get a model in which we could reproduce this black curve here. Right, so we are searching for that. And the other, you see that the blue one and the red one are for different values of delta of very fast and very slow mass transitions. And okay, you see that for the CMB, because what is happening? In the case of the transitions very fast, the mass is changing before the CMB is released. So for the CMB, this neutrino behaves as a 0.1 eV neutrino, as you can see here, right? Instead, in this case, you see that for delta equal plus 1, for the CMB, the neutrino behaves like a 5 eV neutrino. So it's tracking very much this curve. And the same thing is happening for the power spectrum. Right, we have here the power spectrum, the matter power spectrum, and we can see that we can reproduce the results. And if you remember well, I mean, if you are a neutrino guy, you are going to remember that neutrinos drop the perturbations on very large scale, on very small scale. Sorry, Therefore, we expect this to be to happen here, which is also happening. But you see also that on very small scales, we differ a bit of the constant case mass. So, but anyway, these scales are supposed also to be already nonlinear. So it's a bit more complicated than that to do the analysis. But these are our very first results. So I'm going to show you our very first results. So our recipe for MCMC is taking the 6 standard parameters and taking 3 more, right? We are taking the fraction of the neutrino density today, which is the omega density of neutrinos over the omega density of matter, is this value. So here we have the M0, right? Here then we have the M1, since we have M0 from here. And W, at least here for the plots I'm going to show you, is constant, because for the very first time we are trying, we would like to have to see if we can constrain this thing. So adding a new parameter here would only keep getting things worse. So for the first results, we are taking an omega as a constant and fitting it together with everything. So what do we do? Okay, we have this cosmological model with 9 parameters. Then we cook a bit and we get the power spectrum. Then we go there, compare to the data, and okay. And after doing that several times, we get something like this, which are the ellipses of probability and likelihood and all this stuff, right? So how varying can the neutrino mass be? These results are very preliminary results. The code is running right now in Valencia. So they are for constant values of delta, right? So it's for delta equal minus 1 and delta equal plus 1. So you have it here, the ratio of the variation of the mass. And here you have the relative probability of this variation of the mass, right? So you can see that for very late changes in the mass, we have a more or less well-constrained model. But when the change is happening too early and earlier than the CMB, as we expect, we don't get that good constraint, because I mean, the CMB will know almost nothing about the variation of the mass, right? So just to keep in your mind, the delta is this value here, which controls the speed of the variation, right? So, and for these plots, there is one thing which is important. We are not yet using the large-scale structured data. We are not using SDSS. And so if we do so, we expect this constraint to get better by a factor of 2 or 3 because of this dumping of the power spectrum caused by the variation of the neutrino mass, right? So, and here I have some MCMC results for you. This is omega of dark energy, which we assume at a constant, so the problem is not varying this, and the variation of the mass. So you see that for very early mass variations, we don't have that good constraint, as the previous plot was showing. But for very late, even without including the matter power spectrum, we have already nice constraints. I mean, that the mass cannot vary more than something like 10 to half, which is something like 0.5 or something like that, right? So, like 5, sorry. And this, for instance, is the mass of the neutrino now versus the omega dark energy also. You see that we can have nice constraints on omega. I mean, the omega is less than 0.9, as it should be, as we are getting from all the codes, even when the mass is constant. And also the mass now seems well constrained for both cases, right? And we expect, as I said before, that these numbers get better by a factor of 2 or 3 when we include the large-scale structure thing. So this is just to tell you that, okay, we are reproducing very well, even in the case of the varying mass, a famous degeneracy between the dark energy equation of state and the mass of the neutrinos. So for instance, in this paper by Hannestad in 2005, he showed that, okay, you can have a better fits for phantom using all the cosmological data, if you have larger values for the neutrino mass and vice versa, right? So, and then we have the mass, the M1, the mass at the early times versus the omega dark energy. We still see that the omega dark energy is okay, is well constrained, let's say, but we cannot constrain very, very nice this early mass here in this case, right? So here we can get better limits, but then it's spoiled because it has a long tail, it doesn't drop to zero, right? So these are our final results for the mass of the neutrino now and for the ratio of the mass of the neutrinos as today. I got these results very early in the morning, so yeah, you know, the code is running. And okay, we see that we have more or less the same limits for the neutrino mass as in the constant case for both cases, right? So the mass of the neutrino nowadays is well constrained. This is one thing we can constrain very well. But on the other hand, the early mass, if the transition takes place too early in the history of the universe, we cannot constrain that, right? That's the message, right? So as I told you in the present, the code is running there, and we are expecting the in the next weeks to include all the large scale structure data and also to include delta as a free parameter to get a better constraint on delta and try to pick the best place to see the variation of the net, right? And our goal in this job is to try to obtain a region for the mass of Z, to try to obtain a region in which you can constrain the mass of the neutrino for a given beam of redshift or something like that, right? And okay, and a bonus question to the people here is that, okay, can the same be done to dark matter? Is it worth to do that for dark matter? I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, maybe not. Maybe yes. No, don't know. That's an open question. So, just to summary the work, Mavanans, as I said, is a very nice framework because you can explain a lot of things. Although you had some fine tuning that you have to deal with, and also you have now this problem with the stability. If it's right, I didn't have time to go through this paper. That you can have stability in these models, then they are in the game again, right? We parameterize this mass, and okay, we are getting better data every day. So I hope we can report our results very soon. That's it. Thank you very much.
So we can go back one slide. How can the mass variant neutrinos help the fine tuning?
No, the point of the fine-tuning is that point that we were talking before. The point is that, first of all...
For the mass of the scalar field?
Yeah, first of all, for the mass of the scalar field. And in the second case, I mean, you can get a potential which is a bit less, how would I say, will ill-define it than in the normal case of the cosmology, of the infest, I mean, in this sense. But I think that the model is nice, not only because of that, but the model is nice because, first of all, you don't have a dark energy which is interacting only with itself. Right? And then, and okay, if we can test the model, is a very nice thing.
Questions? I go to when comment is you used the right formula of the group fields at work, yeah?
Which formula?
Perturbation.
No. We derive it because in the case of Brookfield, they use a scalar field. So they have the perturbations, the Klein-Gordon perturbed equations. Here we are using the fluid, using the Wien-Hoos approach.
What kind of Boltzmann equation?
Sorry?
Boltzmann equation. Perturbation.
Oh, the perturbation is simply, you simply write the energy momentum tensor for this case in which you have a fluid, then you perturb it.
Anyways, I want to comment this. If you lose their formula, and then they made one mistake, and then during the workshop.
Okay, yeah. I cannot say nothing about them. No, yeah, because I haven't checked the results.
So another one is
Ah, sorry, I didn't say that. Okay, the green contours are 1 sigma, and this one are 2 sigma. Sorry.
So what kind of coupling function, again, does correspond to?
It's a very complicated one, as you may imagine, because you have so...
So what's the motivation for this coupling function?
Is that you can deal with a lot of models. I mean,
yeah.
Because in a given limit, you can always take this mass variation, for instance, to, I don't know, to Brookfield models or to Fardo models and this thing. I mean, we are reproducing very well, for instance, the mass variations for the neutrino. So the motivation is that you can deal with it in a more general sense. But on the other hand, of course, computationally is much more heavy, let's say. Much heavier, but.
Let's thank you. Other speaker is Shepard Smart.